Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at Wintrust.com/Cubs. Member FDIC. Welcome into our Cubs Talk podcast on NBC Sports Chicago and NBCSportsChicago.com with Matt Buckman. I'm David Kaplan. Tommy Burch from the Des Moines Register. He covers the iCubs. He's a sports writer there, has been on that beat a long time. Tommy, thank you for taking time for us. So what are we going to see tonight, in your opinion, Dwayne Underwood against the Dodgers?
I'm really not that sure what you're going to see from him. I mean, at times when he's been with Iowa, he's looked really, really good, and at times he's really struggled. But the one thing that's kind of been the consistent aspect when it comes to Dwayne Underwood starts is I've noticed a lot of times he's really struggled with that first inning. So that's going to be a big key for him when it comes to making that big league start, because one, there's going to be a ton of nerves, as you guys know, when it comes to taking that hill for the first time. It's going to take him a little time to get acclimated. And to me, that's got to be the biggest concern, is he going to be able to get out of that first inning, because it's plagued him. And you see so many guys early on when they take the hill for the first time, the first inning's the biggest concern. And if they can usually survive kind of getting through those first couple of hitters and not really suffer through a lot of troubles, then sometimes it can be smooth sailing. So to me, the first inning is going to be the key for Dwayne Underwood.
Now, digging into the numbers, it looked like, just like what you said, there were games where he'd give up zero runs, one run, and then there were games where he'd give up four, five, six, just like you said. In those games where things came off the rails, particularly in the first inning, like you said, is it a control thing, or are teams teeing off on him? What seems to be his issue when he does give up a lot of runs?
To me, the biggest thing is him just kind of having trouble pitching with runners on base. I mean, I kind of took a deep dive into his splits, and you look at his ERA when he's got runners on second and third. It's 36.00. Runner on third, 10.12. Just even a runner on second, 8.10. It's when he gets guys in scoring position, Dwayne has a tendency to really dig himself into some pretty big holes. But it's when there's nobody on, when runners are on, just he has a guy on first, he has really good numbers. But it's usually how those guys get on base. Sometimes it is just guys hitting pretty well off of him. But I noticed in Iowa, look, he doesn't have a bunch of really good defenders behind him. He doesn't have Javier Baez and Addison Russell behind him in Iowa. So he had a lot of guys booting the ball around, not making some basic plays. And once guys got on base, he really struggled. So maybe that's a good thing for him once he comes up, is he's going to have a significantly better defensive field taking the field behind him, and that hopefully should help him out. But it's kind of been a combination of things. But to me, the biggest telltale sign when it comes to Dwayne is that when things kind of go wrong for him, the hole kind of gets bigger and bigger for him.
So let's talk about Dwayne Underwood's stuff. Do you look at him and go, no shot that stuff plays at the major league level, or no, he actually has really good stuff if he can command and stay out of really tough spots?
Yeah. To me, I think he does have really good stuff. Me, kind of one big thing with his fastball is you can see it anywhere from 92 to 97. It's kind of been fluctuated. I'm guessing that first inning you're going to see a really live fastball just because he's going to have a ton of energy. He's going to be pretty amped up, but it's a really live fastball that he can command really well at times. And he's got a really good curveball. So, but it's kind of like I said, you know, he's just got to manage the game a little bit better and get into a really good rhythm, because to me, one of the really interesting things when you watch Underwood pitch and you'd have Adler out the way pitching in Iowa too, is both those guys work really fast. And when they can get into a rhythm, the game really seems to move pretty smoothly for him, and he can really get going. But he, like anybody else, that stuff is good. The fastball is live. The curveball has some really good break to it. But he's just got to stay out of the zone. That's kind of the thing I noticed too at times, is his stuff would tend to play up at times, and especially in the Pacific Coast League, which is a very hitter-friendly league in the minor leagues. When you're up in the zone, you're going to get hit hard, and he did get hit hard at times. But, you know, he has some great swing and miss stuff because, like I said, a live fastball and a good curveball. You saw a couple outings one time. You know, he struck out 11, not his last start, but the time before he struck out 10. So he's got some really good swing and miss stuff, but it's great stuff, but it's not stuff where he can just totally get away from locating it too.
And I've got just one more on Duane. He's been in the system for a while, since 2012, I think. And it sounds like early on there were questions about his work ethic and focus and things like that. But over the last year, it sounds like he's really kind of focused in. Have you gotten to know him at all while he's been in Des Moines?
Yeah, really good guy. And to me, kind of interesting thing that I took away from talking to him is, every time I would talk to him, he would always tell me, look, I've got this extra chip on my shoulder. I've got something really pushing me. And I'd always be like, okay, what is it? You know, tell me this time. And he wouldn't say. He's got something that's really pushing him. And, you know, from the outside looking in, it's probably that fact that you look at this, a guy that's been in the system since 2012. He's seen a lot of other guys come up and go and make their big league debut, and this is the first year he's gotten to Triple-A. So by the Cubs' perspective, yeah, you look at it, I think a lot of fans look at it and say, man, it's taken him a long time to get here. But everybody I've talked to in the Cubs system has said the same thing. Look, it hasn't been that long. You know, they compared Underwood's rise to kind of like Albert Almora Jr. in terms of these guys were both drafted really young out of high school. It takes time for high school guys to make that rise. Like you said, from a lot of people I've talked to, you know, said the same thing about Underwood. There were some growing up he had to do, and nothing too unusually crazy, but pretty natural for a guy that's drafted out of high school super duper young and just had to mature, grow, and learn how to pitch and learn how to be a professional at the same time. And I think over the last couple of years, you've seen that. And then, you know, those are big factors when you talk about a guy having to rise up through the minor leagues, and then you throw on just the typical normal wear and tear that a guy goes through when he's trying to get through the minor leagues. Underwood dealt with some inconsistent play at times, some injuries and stuff like that. But, you know, the last 2 years, I think you've kind of seen him make those massive strides.
Awesome. Well, let's shift gears just real quick to bullpen. Our Cubbies have struggled over the last weekend or so. Our bullpen, it's been a hot topic here in Chicago. There's a couple interesting names in Des Moines. Dylan Maples has come on strong. Kyle Ryan has pitched well, and Dakota Mekki's just got promoted. Is there anything you can tell us about those three guys? Could you see them helping the big league squad sometime this season?
Yeah, obviously, I think the big name that a lot of people around there are probably the most familiar with, and it seems like every time the Cubs need to make a move for the bullpen, the name that I'm always hearing about is Dylan Maples, just because Dylan has such electric stuff. He's got that great slider. He's got that park their own fastball. They'll reach 98, 99, even touch 100 at times. But I think it's kind of interesting when it comes to Maples, because I think you have two different camps, at least when it comes to fans who are like, okay, wow, this guy's got electric stuff. We want to see him in the major leagues. And then there are a lot of fans that are like, look, there's a reason why it took this guy so long to rise through the system. And I think a lot of people are still a little soured with how he pitched last year. But if you really look at the numbers at how Dylan Maples pitched when he was in Chicago last year, which is one really bad outing that super skewed kind of the stats in that ERA and really ballooned it. But, I mean, from watching Dylan Maples over the last year, from last year to this year, there hasn't been many pitchers that have come through the system that have the type of stuff he has. He has electric, swing and miss, closer type stuff. And I'm not talking just he has a chance to be a closer. I'm talking he has a chance to be, you know, an all-star closer because his stuff is that good. I talked to one Cubs official who was telling me when it comes to Dylan Maples stuff, usually when you're talking to pitchers and you're talking, you know, stuff, want him to hit a certain spot. Dylan Maples' slider and his fastball have so much life and so much movement and such good stuff to it that they are preaching, hey, hit this area. You don't have to hit this spot. Hit this wide range area. And if you can do that, you're going to have a tremendous amount of success. The problem is Dylan Maples' command has been a little iffy at times. It was at the start of this season. It was during that outing where he got rocked last year. So, over the last month, you've really seen him turn the corner. And if he can keep putting together solid outings, big time zeros, I think the Cubs are going to want to see what they have again with him last year because he has that great stuff. Mekas is really an intriguing guy, too, because he's still a young guy that's just rapidly risen through the system. And he's done it mostly with a very deceiving delivery. You know, his stuff isn't that great. It's a good fastball, some good off-speed stuff. But for one reason or another, I think it's just how he's able to kind of short that distance from the mound to the plate. He's got deceptive stuff that PCL hitters and just hitters across the minor leagues haven't been able to see. So those are the two most intriguing guys, and then Ryan put up some really good numbers. So the guy that, you know, you didn't mention that people in Chicago have seen a ton from too is Justin Hancock. That guy's stuff is just phenomenal, but a lot like Maples, it just comes down to command. And when Maples and Hancock have their command, they are as good as any bullpen options as there are in all of baseball. But when they don't have it, they are like Superman getting exposed to kryptonite almost.
Hey, before we let you go, anything on the position player or starting pitcher side where you look and go, keep your eye on those guys because, you know, tonight Dwayne starts. The other day it was Luke Farrell. And you look at a team with World Series aspirations, it does not seem like there's a lot of pitching depth in the system.
Yeah, to me, when it comes to, you know, pitchers, I think everybody's kind of waiting for Jen Hosang to kind of turn the corner. He's been really inconsistent this year. I think command for him has also been the key because Jen Ho's stuff isn't that great. He doesn't have a great lively fastball or devastating off-speed stuff. It's just command where he's been a little bit off. But to me, the other guy in the bullpen that I'd kind of keep an eye on is Shea Simmons, is a guy who he's got a really live fastball, mid to high 90s, had a great season with the Braves, but ever since he got hurt, just kind of bounced around baseball. But I think the Cubs really like what he has to offer and want to see that he's one, healthy, and two, can throw strikes. So that's kind of a guy that I would kind of keep an eye on, too, when it came to the bullpen. But then position players, I think it's kind of the same guys that you guys have been seeing and hearing about maybe for the last year. David Bote swung a good bat. Victor Caratini has done nothing but hit really, really well since he's been sent back down. For me, I kind of see a situation where I would imagine at some point Caratini is coming back down, and I wouldn't be surprised to see Jimenez come back down, you know, they would have to DFA him, but I wouldn't be totally shocked to see him clear waivers, come back down and sign a minor league deal. But those two guys, and then Taylor Davis. I mean, Taylor Davis gets talked about so much because of the viral video last year and how he became a fan favorite, but he has put together a really, really good season, hit tremendously well. The pitchers I talked to love the connection that they built with him and how he can call a game. The only problem is, you know, I mentioned Jimenez and you know, Victor Caratini, then there's Wilson Contreras. He just has a giant group of guys blocking his way. So it doesn't matter how well Taylor Davis hits, he's going to be roadblocked. But those are kind of the guys that played the best down here.
Hey, man, we appreciate you taking time for us. We would love to ask you about Adibert Alzolay, but he's done for the year, so we'll have to wait till next year. Does he look to be, very quickly, a guy that everyone should be paying attention to?
Absolutely. I mean, that's a guy who, you know, I was talking about Dylan Maples and the inconsistencies of his season. When Alzolay was on, I mean, that's the guy who was taking a no-hitter or perfect game into outings when he had his A stuff. The problem is, when he didn't have his A stuff, it was like B stuff. There wasn't really an in-between. I think that's probably the thing with Alzolay is he's got to learn to really pitch well when he doesn't have his best stuff. But, you know, from everything I was hearing, the Cubs loved everything that they saw from him and felt like it was going to be a matter of when, not if this season he was going to help out. So it'll definitely be a time sometime next season that you see him in Chicago, barring that he doesn't have any more health problems.
Hey, man, appreciate the time. Keep up the great work, okay?
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks,
Tommy. You got it. Tommy Burch from the Des Moines Register does a great job covering the Iowa Cubs. And, of course, our podcast is brought to you, as always, by our friends at Wintrust, home of Cubs checking, and that really sweet WATM card that I carry in my wallet. You should do the same, Matt Buckman.
Oh, it's right there.
Right there, buddy.
That's right.
A lot more money in your account than mine.
Yeah, I bet.
All right, have a great day. Thank you for participating. Thank you for listening. Again, this is Cubs Talk, and you can get it all at NBCSportsChicago.com.